305 Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve. It's a lovely sort of a day weather-wise, that's for sure. And we have absolutely appalling material that we have to deal with. A little bit earlier today, Richmond's Morning News, Rich Herrera, reached out to me and said, hey, can we get you on the air for a couple of minutes to talk about what had happened up in Washington, D.C.? I was on my way to jail. It's, you know, Friday Eve for us. Some people refer to it as Thursday, I know, but that's the day I go to jail. And as weird as it sounds, it's a day I look forward to. I look forward to going to jail and spending some time and helping some folks. And, of course, I reached out when I got to a red light, and I was able to return his call and the text. Yeah, you know, I could. 8:35 is fine. 9:05 will be too late because I'll be inside the jail. And it's always interesting to me when I chat with people who are doing that whole morning drive thing, saying, "Oh, I didn't mean to wake you up." It's like, dude, I've been up. You know, I'm just not getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning anymore. That's the difference between doing mornings and afternoons. I acknowledge 3 o'clock, but I only acknowledge one of them each and every day. But I had to go pull over into a parking lot just so I had a few details on what had happened up in D.C. I had heard the report, but I didn't know very much. Now, as soon as I heard that it was two members of the Israeli embassy and they were murdered as they were coming out of a Jewish event at the Capitol Jewish Museum in D.C., I knew just in my heart of hearts that it was anti-Semitism. It was Jew hatred. I guess I had to fill in some of the details, but I knew what it was, because I've lived this my entire life. I am not someone who blames others' actions on my own personal characteristics or traits or anything like that. But there are moments which are born of a lifetime of experience that they're just some things you know, right? You know them. You just know them. You don't need to hear anything else. You get it. And so I got this. And one of the things that I was able to share with Rich this morning, and I'll share again this afternoon, is a phrase that I have adopted. I adopted it many years ago. And I say we need more JDL and less ADL. The JDL, for those of you that don't know, the Jewish Defense League, it was founded by Rabbi Meir Kahane. Rabbi Kahane was from New York, but he had lived in Israel. He started the Jewish Defense League as exactly what it sounds like, a group of Jews who were determined to fight back. The ADL, the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, has long been a repository of left-wing talking points. And there's a lot of talking. The ADL talks. They talk about a lot of stuff. I don't know what they do. The JDL, during its time, and at least in theory doesn't exist anymore, they fought back. And this is something that every Jewish family of a certain age and a certain generation would understand. I understood it to my core, because back in the 70s, as I was growing up in Philadelphia, Oxford Circle, Northeast Philadelphia, a community that was just about equally divided, Jewish and Catholic, a slight edge to Jewish, actually, at the time. But it was fundamentally, for the sake of argument, just about 50-50. And it was a great neighborhood in which to grow up. Kids were responsible and paid attention in school. We played in the streets, played in the alleys. Every one of us loved the Flyers. This was at the time of the Broad Street Bullies. We won back-to-back Stanley Cups. We loved the Flyers. Everybody did. And it didn't make any difference whether you went to the public school as the Jewish kids did or the Catholic school as the Catholic kids did. We all loved hockey, and we all loved the Flyers, and we all loved the Broad Street Bullies, and every one of us thought we were gonna grow up and be Dave Schultz. That's what we wanted to be. In fact, there was a store on Castor Avenue. Castor Avenue was the main shopping area for our neighborhood. And on Castor Avenue, there was a men's store called Fleets, F-L-E-E-T, apostrophe S. It was where every boy in the neighborhood, Jew or Catholic, went for that first suit. For the Jewish boys, we went over there to get fitted for our bar mitzvah suit. For the Catholic boys, they went over there to get fitted for their first communion suit. And in the Jewish Exponent, which was the weekly Jewish newspaper, Fleets always had an ad with photos of the boys who had come in to get fitted for their bar mitzvah suits. And so that was a big deal to have your photo, if you were Jewish, in the Jewish Exponent. Because there you were in all your finery. And the local Catholic newspaper, well, they had a weekly ad as well from Fleets with photos of the young boys who were at Fleets getting their first communion suits. We grew up side by side. In theory, at least, if you crossed the boulevard, it was more Catholic than Jewish on one side, and then on the other side, it was more Jewish than Catholic. I got a buddy of mine who's actually a doctor who grew up on the other side of the street. He is just a world-renowned cosmetic surgeon, plastic surgeon. I don't know if it's cosmetic that he does or plastic. I've had some experience with him professionally, but he grew up in Philadelphia. And I think the world of the guy. I only see him when something's wrong, so he's not a friend. You know, if you're thinking, oh, is it Joe Niampto? No, Joe Niampto is a friend. And yes, absolutely marvelous facial surgeon, you know, gives you smiles when you want to smile. He's a great guy. But no, I'm not talking about Joe. I'm talking about another doctor that I know, another surgeon. And when I went in, first time we were chatting, and he said, oh, you're from Philadelphia. I said, I know. He said, well, no, I know because I listen to your show, and I'm from Philadelphia. We grew up, you know, kind of opposite sides of the street. I grew up, and he told me the name of the parish that he was in. I went, oh, yeah. And he says, and I went to such and such a Catholic school. And he goes, oh, yeah, yeah. And I went, and I told him, and we just had a great time. And he's a little bit older than I am, a few years older, but we fundamentally had the same memories of growing up in that neighborhood. And if you were to go and ask the vast majority of the folks who grew up in that neighborhood in Oxford Circle in Philadelphia at that time, just about everybody had the same experiences. But I had an experience, and some of us on the Jewish side of it had an experience which, quite frankly, changed my life. I've told you about the Bargs, Mr. and Mrs. Barg. Mr. and Mrs. Barg were survivors of Auschwitz. And they lived next to us. Now, we lived in a row house. Nowadays, they call them townhomes, and they raise the prices. I'll tell you what a row house was. A row house was part of about, 25 or 30 houses on each side of the street. You had windows in the front and windows in the back. So your view from the front was of the street with cars parked there, and your view from the back, which was my view from my bedroom, was of an alley with trash cans. That was my view. Which is why I'm so unbelievably grateful that I get to wake up where I wake up and enjoy what I enjoy. But as a little kid, I asked Mr. and Mrs. Barg about those numbers on their arms. And I can remember Mr. Barg saying, Jeffrey, yes, yeah. Well, you know, and I don't remember his wife's name. I mean, they were old when I knew them. They're long gone by this point, but whatever. He said, you know, well, Mrs. Barg and I, we don't have very good memories anymore. So we had our phone numbers written on our arms so that way we don't forget them. And I thought, well, okay, made sense to me. I didn't know. I didn't closely examine them. Had I closely examined them, I would have seen that there were two different numbers. And this was at a time we had wires that brought the phone into the house. You had one phone, maybe two. Maybe you had one upstairs. There was only one number. Nobody had two phone numbers. That was outrageous. But it was enough for me. I was a little kid. Sure. Okay, Mr. Barg. Okay, Mrs. Barg. Well, that's great. I remember going home. And going home, by the way, meant walking, I don't know, 10 feet from their front door to our front door. We were directly next door neighbors. And going home and talking to my mom, because she was home after when I got there. My dad wasn't home from work yet. And I said, hey, you know, isn't it interesting, Mr. and Mrs. Barg, you know, they have their phone numbers written on their arms. And she got livid. Oh, my God, don't ever ask them about that. Don't ever talk to them. Don't. Okay. I mean, I didn't see what the big deal was. They're just phone numbers. Who cares? Now, fast forward a couple of years. I told you how much everybody in the neighborhood loved hockey and how we all wanted to be the Broad Street Bullies. We all wanted to be the Philadelphia Flyers who won the back-to-back Stanley Cups in the early 70s. I'll tell you what happened after school one day, after elementary school. And the difference between my mom and my dad, because it was that moment that I fully understood what has become my mantra now, which is more, we need more JDL and less ADL. I'm going to share that with you in a couple of moments. We got a lot that we're going to deal with, I know. Some of it is, quite frankly, going to be more challenging than some other parts. And we're going to have to make a few adjustments. Now, ordinarily at 3:35, the media equalizer, Brian Maloney, would join us. Germ, we're just going to have to reschedule Brian. We'll have to get him on next week. And I apologize. I should have let you know. It's been a very interesting day. It has involved a lot of time for me directed elsewhere. But we are going to deal with this. And there are just some things that I have to explain, and I have to share with you about what happened in D.C. and how right about now it is hitting, I swear to you, every Jewish person in America. Everyone. Now, if you want to jump in here, of course, the James River Air text line is always available to you, and today is no exception. 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Please feel free to send me a text. Would love to hear what you have to say. Would love to examine what you're thinking. We know that the terrorist, there's no other way to describe him, the terrorist in D.C. wanted to kill Jews, and he succeeded in killing two Jews. All the while, he was shouting one of the many slogans now adopted by Hamas and the useful idiots who have flocked to support them. Thoughts on that? James River Air text line is the way to share them. 833-804-1140. 833-804-1140. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.